Sabbath, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Their world sounded sort of like ours. Ours is a world. War in the Mideast threatens cataclysmic world war today. It's scary. Cries of injustice and oppression, even in our cities of the USA, dominate the news. In the last few weeks, a new uproar over religious freedom laws. Constant twisting of what we really think was behind the intent of many of those acts. Economic uncertainty. It's a scary, scary world. But in the middle of it, Jesus comes today to us as he came to disciples who were hiding in fear. He didn't have a new message. It was a message that he had expressed to them before. In the midst of storms, there's the story of Jesus walking on the water, coming to the disciples in the midst of a life-threatening storm. They didn't know what to expect. Jesus' presence and work was actually scaring. As he comes into their midst, he says, "Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be afraid. I am with you." And on this particular evening, the evening of that very first Easter Sunday, disciples gathered, it says, in an upper room. Was it the same upper room in which they had had a meal with Jesus just a few days earlier? Possibly. But all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Twice, peace be with you. Oh, go do the work God sent me to do. Receive the Holy Spirit. Forgive those who have sinned against us. Those you forgive are forgiven, and those who are not, you don't have. Forgive. Wow. What a message. It's a message for us today. Peace be with you. Can you imagine? Here's what he's saying to those disciples. God has raised me to life. I am with you. As I was thinking about this line this morning, a scene in my own life surfaced. It was Christmas 1969, well, a couple days before. It was Kathy's and my first Christmas as husband and wife. But I had experienced a very sad loss. My hero and model, Bill, my cousin, had died. See, he was such a model of mine that when it came time to choose a college, I didn't look at a bunch of college. I didn't do a lot of search. If that's where Bill went, that's where I was going. He was a cousin about 7 years older than me. I admired him. Graduated from college, married, went through the same seminary I would later attend. Took a little church in West Texas and developed cancer. And somewhere late fall 1969, he died. My dream. My hero. And so Kathy's and my trip to Council Bluffs, Iowa for the Christmas days as husband and wife would go from Bethany, Oklahoma by way of Independence, Missouri, Kansas City, up to Council Bluffs. In Independence, Missouri, we would go to his funeral. That was a sad day. A tough day. If it wasn't that bad enough, you know, it started out a beautiful, well, it was still dark when we left Bethany, Oklahoma, and drove and arrived in Kansas City. And during the funeral, it began snowing. It was December. Got the picture? It began snowing. And we were going to meet and caravan with my parents and sisters from Kansas City on up to Council Bluffs, Iowa, just across the river from Omaha, Nebraska. Snowing like crazy. By the time we left, it was scary. Dad said, you go ahead and lead, I will follow you. And we had planned out a route, this time going up the eastern side of Kansas, where it was a lot flatter ground and straighter highways in the snowstorm. I was scared. It was a day of loss. My hero was buried. We stopped for fuel or for just a break, and my dad stopped me. He came up and he said, Steve, I'm with you. I've trained you how to drive in this. You know how to do it. You're okay. Don't be so scared. Just go ahead. I will be right behind you. And if anything happens, I will help you. Oh, okay. I just needed that little moment. And so I headed out. My sister joined us. It was the same age of Kathy. And we had a blast driving through a heavy snowstorm in Kansas, up into Nebraska, into Omaha. Finally, we got home, and it was quite a while before Dad got home. And I thought, oh, maybe I should have been following Dad. He said, what happened to you? He said, I never did catch sight of you again. You understand? See, it was those words, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's been a tough day. But I've trained you. You know how to drive in this stuff. You can do it. And I sensed Jesus coming into the middle of those scared disciples, not knowing what to expect. All of their dreams and expectations, interpretations, had been dashed. Jesus says, it's okay. I'm with you. Why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Those weren't new words. Jesus had said that to them before in the middle of storms. I'm with you. Why are you doubting? Oh, our opponents are still angry and yeah, they want to kill you. Isn't that encouraging? The snowstorm can get you. Friends, whatever your storm is today, the resurrected Christ is here. You are not alone. And he's not saying it's going to be nice and everything's going to be wonderful. What he's saying is you're not alone. That's what he's saying. And that's the difference. And he's saying, I've trained you. I'm with you. Peace be with you. And so as the Father is sending me, I am sending you back out into that very same world. You go and announce to the people the kingdom of heaven is near. Well, one said in this story that Ben read, this was a message that had been given them a few years earlier when Jesus sent them out on a mission journey. And his commission was, announce to the people the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. In other words, keep doing what I've taught you to do. Keep doing. No, don't. You don't sit around and say, well, I've done my... No, keep on doing. Well, it's been life. No, keep on doing. Keep on doing. You keep on doing. Keep. Father has sent me. I am sending you. Yeah, see, our world wants to dilute the standard of God. In our finiteness, we want to quit. Our world wants to settle for a Christianity as defined as what seems right in our thinking. The thinking of our world. Jesus was a nice guy, died a martyr, and we've got this story, and one of the old interpretations is the resurrection is really the life of his memory. Friends, there have been too many witnesses of the actual resurrection of Jesus for any decent historian to accept that anymore. The resurrection was the transformation of people totally disillusioned, turned around, and out of that came the movement we now know as Christianity and God's church. You see, Christians, you are now the front line of mission for Christianity and for the church. New Cumberland Church in Nazarene, a new pastor with a certain kind of gifting, is not your hope. Did I get that one strong enough? How many of you thought this next pastor is going to be the new hope? No, he's not. He's not. A new pastor is not with all the right gifting and new this, and it'll fit your program. That's not the hope of this world. Do you know what the hope of this world is? Do you really believe that? This isn't the time for nice little pat answers. What is the hope of the future for this church? Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. It's not an attractive program. Do you know why there's the number of channels on TV there are? Some want to watch trucks going over icy roads. Some want to watch games. Some keep looking for a new story. Do you know why there's so many channels on TV? Most of them are making money. It's because we all have different looks. We have different desires. We have different dreams. There's different things that entertain us. And so why do we think one pastor or one change is going to make you happy? I got bad news for you. In plain old English, it ain't going to happen. Because every one of you wants something different. And then you're going to get mad at it. No, you're going to get mad at the new pastor because they didn't do it your way. Is this getting home yet? This is Easter Sunday, and I'm pulling you back to what our hope is. It's not a great program. Do you know what our hope is? Oh, you're sounding better all the time. We're going to get there. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And you're the front line of mission, not the pastor, not the program, not the youth program, not the children's program. Do you know what the front line of mission is? It's you. Because if you read the scriptures, you, each one of you is the missionary of our world. And let me encourage you, Jesus said, the world hates me. And it'll hate you too. Read it. Don't listen to some little diluted line of what's nice and what the church ought to be. What does God want you to be? Says Jesus to those disciples, as the Father sent me, I send you. Jesus came introducing a new kingdom, a new perspective of the kingdom. He also came to die. He said, I came to give my life as a ransom. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And so the Apostle Peter writes, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Oh, this is the way it's put by the ancient prophet Jeremiah. Several hundred years before Jesus, this is what the Lord says. Be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. Stop murdering the innocent. Infants who have not yet seen the light of day. Convicts unjustly placed in prison, destined for death. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It's not enough to sit around and complain and gripe and growl and get heart attack. I've been part of those conversations. I get myself all the time, and I can feel the blood pressure. I can feel my neck getting stiff. I can feel. When you feel that, Lord, you've tried taking to do this. Now God wants you to be a representative of Jesus in our world. Relax. Love. The Father has sent me, church, I am sending you. Oh, by the way, you can't do it in your own strength, because what Jesus gave us to do is just too much for us to do. And so he gives a third line. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. God's great gift. Jesus taught this about the Holy Spirit. Now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor. Different words are used for that person of the Holy Spirit. If I go away, then I will send the Holy Spirit to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Oh, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Not that it's being bad, it's refused. See, when we believe in Jesus, there's going to be a change in life. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, Jesus says, but you can't handle it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, he will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Friends, how do we do what Jesus told us to do? How do we continue his mission? How do you do that? Well, you need to do some more learning, but what we need more, and just as much, well, back to more. The Holy Spirit of God. A few days later, just before his ascension, his instructions to the disciples were, in a few days, I'm going to be leaving you in a moment. You stay right here until you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He will empower you to be my witnesses. And the book of Acts is a story of the church empowered by the Holy Spirit, transformed. Friends, in addition to Jesus being the base, our strength and power is the Holy Spirit. New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene, Jesus is the hope, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has a way of giving you ears that you never thought you had. Been talking a lot lately of what you think ought to be done? Think, have you been listening? Have you been listening? Have you been listening? The Holy Spirit will guide you. I'm talking to church, some of you are visitors today, and there's going to be some changes. I'm retiring next February. But whatever your situation is in your life, whatever your situation is in your life, whatever it is you're dealing with, the Holy Spirit empowers you Receive the Holy Spirit. Be transformed. The Holy Spirit provides cleansing from self-centeredness and sin, love for one another, love for world and mission, a new understanding of Jesus and the Bible. There's some things you'll never understand from the Bible until empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's empowerment for mission and service, whatever it is that God has for you to do and to be. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, forgive those who have sinned against you. Oh, I usually hear this, you know, you have the power now to express forgiveness to others. To those disciples who were caught that day who had seen injustice by the people, they had also experienced their own failures. Sometimes it means forgiving ourselves for our failures, because we've all got them. Right? We've all got them. And here's what I hear Jesus really saying to those disciples. Release the past. Turn to the future. Release the past. Of the 12 disciples of Jesus, one committed suicide. The rest denied and walked away. 3 days before that, they'd have said, not me. In fact, some of them did say, not me. Not friends, we don't know what we'll do. It's easy to brag right now. I've heard men say, I would have never done what they did against Jesus. No, I'm a man. I'm honest. I'm loyal. That would never be me. I've heard men say it. Big men. I've also seen them turn away. In the face of heartache and failure. And that's what happened with the disciples of Jesus. Before they could forgive others, they first of all had to forgive themselves. They had to release the past. Jesus was moving life into a new way. Forgive those you perceive as your enemies. Release tyrannical dominion of the past, disappointments, perceptions of injustice to you, so you can move into the future by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Notice the order of these instructions. I was looking at this the other day. There's a unique order. Look at it. Most of us think, well, we've got to forgive those who've sinned against us, and then we've got to do other things. Notice the real order. First of all, peace be with you. God's presence. Second, submit yourself to God's way. Third, receive the Holy Spirit. Fourth, forgive those who sin against you. See that order? Wow. So here's the message today. Peace. Peace.